Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Scott R. Singer is a senior business executive with 20 years of investment banking and consulting experience in the media industry. He's originated and executed financial and strategic transactions totaling over $110 billion. His clients have included Cablevision Systems, CBS, Charter Communications, Comcast, Discovery Communications, Disney, Liberty Media, and the list goes on and on. Mr. Singer leads the Bank Street's Media and Entertainment Investment Banking Practice, and prior to joining the firm, he was a managing director and head of broadcasting and cable in the Investment and Corporate Banking Department at BMO Capital Markets, a principal at Deloitte, and a leader of its U.S. Media and Entertainment Practice. He's author of the new book, How to Hit a Curveball, Confront and Overcome the Unexpected in Business. Scott, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
Scott, to begin with, what does the title of your new book, which is an obvious baseball reference, have to do with business?
Well, at the time when I went to a ball game a number of years ago, I just had to handle a number of curveballs that were thrown my way. I had a very successful banking career for a good 15 plus years here in New York City. And there were a series of events that occurred that really threw me for a loop. My brother was in the World Trade Center on September 11th. Fortunately, he survived, but we didn't know that for a while. And that certainly had me rethink what was important and valuable. Second, I ended up losing my job as the telecom technology bubble burst about 6 or 7 months after the Trade Center tragedy, as Wall Street was reorganizing itself and dealing with that curveball. And then it shone a spotlight on my marriage, where unfortunately it wasn't exactly what each of us had hoped or planned it would be and ended up in divorce. So I was sitting at a ballgame with my kids and I watched Derek Jeter get thrown a couple of curves and he swung and missed. This was at a Red Sox game. Of course, they're arch enemies. And I realized and had this quick epiphany that all the things that I had been going through, both professionally and personally, were all really about hitting those curves. It's not so much how hard you get hit or how hard you can hit back. It's how resilient you can be and how quickly you can overcome those issues with a positive, affirmative, forward-looking perspective. I thought I had that. I looked around at the world and saw a lot of other people dealing with much more substantial issues and seemingly handling them with much greater ease. And what I set out to do was learn how, why. What did they know? What was the secret they had? I first went to the CEOs and CFOs and boards of directors, people that were my clients, and started asking them questions. And it evolved into hitting curves, overcoming the unexpected, and then taking an action to overcome that.
In keeping with the baseball metaphor, you've organized the book into 9 innings. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. We've all had days where we've dreaded the work day. And it was probably because there were challenges in the office or there are challenges in our personal life. But it's the challenges that come when you don't expect them that are really the most serious that I've addressed here. What one should do is turn into a very empowering mode, in a very action-oriented mode when they are confronting the unexpected. And so what I suggest first is that you step up to the plate, admitting whatever it was and then moving forward. Don't argue with the umpire. Don't point your finger someone else's direction, say they didn't hit their sales target or the economy changed or this person didn't do that or this person did this. Whatever it is, it happened. Accept it. You'll have plenty of time in the future to analyze a situation, but right now you're probably in a situation where you need to take some action. The next is be the batter, not the ball. We tend to spend more time thinking about what others think of us than they really do. In essence, the anxiety that we create worrying about all the possibilities is sabotage, and we sabotage our own success in many cases. The next is keeping your eye on the ball. Think about what you can control and what you can't. focus on the few things that you can. Chances are there may be dozens of issues around any particular problem, but there are probably only a handful of those that you can actually do something about. So that's where you should concentrate. The next is listening to your coach. One of the things we generally don't do is have mentors or advisors or reach out to a network. One of the things that people do in their personal lives is have lawyers, investment bankers, consultants, doctors of every type of specialty. But when it comes to a career issue or a professional issue, we tend to try and solve the problems ourselves rather than talking it through with others, even if it's your spouse. Without having that group of people around you to give other perspectives, especially if you're a CEO or you're a division president, it's a very lonely place, but it's important for you to have that external perspective. The next is stepping outside the batter's box to think creatively. There are many ways and many tools to do that. And in the book, we try to provide a number of different tools for each inning as to how to change one's attitude, think creatively, and add in other perspectives so that you can attempt to solve the problems in perhaps a different way. The next is waiting for your pitch. One of the things we tend to do when something goes wrong is respond immediately. And sometimes an immediate response isn't necessarily the best. Being a little thoughtful, taking your time, waiting for that pitch is important. Becoming a home run hitter is taking all of this together and putting it into larger practice. And then filling out your lineup. Surround yourself as a C-suite executive with other people in your organization that have this type of skill, can handle change, because if you don't like change, now's a really bad time to live because we have more of it and it's happening faster than ever before. And very important, if you have people within your organization that you do like, if you're not hiring someone anew, at least train them. And then the last is looking outside the ballpark. The things that are taught in the book are just as applicable to one's personal life. Teaching your children, friends and family, the things that we discuss here is very important to all.
In the book, you talk about the need to overcome natural pessimism when you confront a situation. And I think there's another side that's equally a problem, and that's excessive optimism. How do you deal with both sides of these reactions to change?
The most important step to take is to be a realist rather than a pessimist, although optimism isn't bad. But you're absolutely right that sometimes we can be overly optimistic and hope that we close our eyes and it will all just get better. Chances are that doesn't happen either. One of the things I always heard was no problem ever gets solved by worrying about it. So taking a pessimistic approach isn't an action-oriented step. Asking yourself, what can you do, also isn't a very positive question. When you think about it, you could very easily answer nothing. And that really doesn't empower you as well. It's what should you do? We all know and have an inner voice. Either we give advice to others or we know inside ourselves that there are things we should be doing, things that we could be doing. And that's the way to proceed forward. If you dive into pessimism and worry about everything, you'll never solve that problem. At the same time, being a Pollyanna and hoping success will happen on its own is probably not the most realistic expectation either.
You also talk about the need to differentiate situations, those that are within your ability to control and those that aren't.
It is very important to focus on the things that you can control. When I was doing research for the book, I had the pleasure of interviewing Alan Schwartz at Bear Stearns. They were dealing with all kinds of crises almost on a daily basis. And bringing together his management team, they would sit down and talk about all of the problems that exist out there, whether they be within Bear Stearns or outside in the financial world. And what he advised them was, let's just focus on what we can control, because all of the other things don't matter. If we spend our time thinking about those, we are not spending our time on the things that we can.
You also talk about the need for a coach. So how do you pick individuals you should go to for advice?
They can be your siblings. They can be your spouse. They can be professionals in public relations. They can be executive or life coaches. They could be psychologists or psychiatrists. They could be your best friends. It's different for each individual based on what you feel you may need. Sometimes it's important to ask others what they think you may need, because the people that are closest to you also probably know you best and have a point of view. Getting multiple perspectives is important. So even just picking a coach is part of a process of soliciting advice from others as well.
All right. So occasionally you may find yourself dealing with a problem over a long period of time. How do you step away to develop a fresh perspective?
Overall, handling the unexpected is all about having the right attitude. And that right attitude has a number of components, which is why we have multiple steps in this book. It's a process. And some things that work for some individuals don't work for others. We've all had to deal with our car doesn't start in the morning, or a debilitating illness in a family member, or an industry that you're involved in that is going through massive change. And it's just not fun going to work every day, but that's what you do. You can obviously change the latter, but some of the things, the former, you can't. So throughout the book are steps and tools to handle all of those things, whether it is something like Michael J. Fox dealing with Parkinson's, or Jerry Levin, who is the former chief executive officer of Time Warner, who was responsible for the acquisition of AOL and had to live his life after that, knowing that he was in part responsible for a very unsuccessful chapter in that corporation's history. Or an individual like Buzz Aldrin, after he returned from that very famous first lunar landing on Apollo 11, having to deal with depression and alcoholism. He had that wonderful career up to that point, but then had to handle the public relations and spotlight that he hadn't expected, and got a new job after NASA that he wasn't successful at, and how he had to overcome those things. And this is the early 1970s, when people didn't go to psychologists or psychiatrists. When he did come out and say that he did that, he was applauded and ultimately made chairman of, I believe it was, the National Institute of Mental Health.
A lot of executives say it's important to make a quick decision, to be decisive, come up with a conclusion, and then move ahead.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, being a little thoughtful, taking your time is important. Wait for your pitch. And that really means taking the time to think through all the variables of a situation. One of the examples in the book was in January of 2008, the chief executives of the three major automobile companies, who were suffering tremendously from the Great Recession, went hat in hand on each of their own private jets to Washington, D.C. Congress did not take too kindly to that. The new president, Obama, said, "I think our chief executives here are a little tone deaf to what's going on." They probably had fabulous financial presentations and explanations, but they hadn't taken the time, I suspect, to step back and think of that broader point of view. Bring in that public relations person who would be able to give them perspective, which ended up being as important as anything else, on how it would be perceived when they arrived in Washington, D.C. So you need to think much more broadly, and you need to take your time. And one of the things the most successful executives do is listen to their immediate, called executive committee, and then make a decision, but really get all of those points of view.
Right, right. Okay, let's say you've taken the defensive because of a sudden change. What is the advice there?
Sometimes it is important to defend yourself, the people that you work with, your industry. Maybe things were going the right way and there was an exogenous event that happened. No one situation can be solved in a very prescriptive, identical manner each time.
Scott, how do you foster innovative thinking within your organization and realistic risk management?
In this environment, we've all had an incredible lesson in risk. We had a generational lesson. A few generations ago, obviously dealt with that in the Great Depression. But it is important to keep in mind that without risk, we lose return. It's taking that appropriate amount of risk that we somewhat lost sight of and taking the appropriate risk in the appropriate places in our life. Unfortunately, a lot of people took that risk with the most basic of assets, their home. That's not necessarily a good thing. And obviously, that's proven to be the case. It doesn't mean that these people weren't intelligent. We collectively, as a culture, and frankly, globally, made similar decisions. You need to be very thoughtful about change, not being afraid to cannibalize a business line you're involved in, to grow something new. Look at what the Wall Street Journal is doing, and Rupert Murdoch in particular. The business he is doing by trying to build an online iPhone, BlackBerry, iPad application where he's charging for what is very important and valuable content, just as he does in the print version, is key. What he's doing is probably cannibalizing his print sales, but he may be actually growing in the long run the overall consumption of what's a very important product to a lot of people.
We'd like to thank our guest on today's program, Scott R. Singer, author of the new book, How to Hit a Curveball, Confront and Overcome the Unexpected in Business. Thanks, Scott.
My pleasure.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.